Welcome to the March 17th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35, and the sermon is entitled Authentic Love, delivered today by Pastor Nathan Williams.
I'm honored to be able to share God's word with y'all this morning. If you would, go ahead and open up to John chapter 13. That's where we'll be studying today. Recently, I had an opportunity to be at a wedding, and weddings are wonderful things to be a part of and just see the joy of two people committing their lives together. But something that made this wedding a little bit different is I could tell Christ was not at the center of the ceremony, and the focus was not looking at God's word and what God's word said about marriage. It was just an officiant speaking what seemed good to them, and they said something that stuck out to me. They said that love unifies us. It's the one thing we get right. It sounds poetic. It sounded kind of nice on the surface, but when I thought about it, I was like, I wonder if that's truly right if God is not at the center of that marriage. Is love truly something that unifies people? And is love really what we get right? Because when I look at the world and I look around, it's like a lot of people are getting a lot of things wrong. I look at my own life, I get a lot of things wrong. So I don't know if love is always the thing we get right, but I think it's very important to realize that I think the reason the officiant said that is deep in all of us is a desire to love and a desire to be loved. I think it's deep in human nature. If you look at the past several decades, the top 40 hits in America, 7 out of 10 songs are about love or about relationships, whether it's Randy Travis talking about I'm going to love you forever and ever, amen, or Whitney Houston or Dolly Parton talking about, I will always love you. More recently, there's songs about We Found Love, or a song in the 90s that I think hit the nail on the head, just repeated over and over again, What is Love? Over and over and over again. But I think that's a question we all must answer and understand. What is love? If it's so deeply ingrained in us, if it's something we desire, something we were made for, what is it? When we look to God's word, as we've read this morning, the Bible speaks to it. Jesus says the greatest commandment was in Deuteronomy when God said that the Lord your God is one. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. So love of God is what we're meant to do. Then in Leviticus, we also see that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. And our God came to earth and told us, these are the most important commandments. So I think that longing or desiring us to love is right, but we must make sure that the love we actually have is authentic and true. Because authentic love, I think, is the fullest expression of what it means to be human. And the fullest form of authentic love is shown to us in God Himself and His work on the cross. As we prepare for Easter and we look ahead to Easter, I think it's beautiful to see in Scripture as Jesus prepares for his cross, he speaks to his disciples about love. He teaches us about what authentic love is, that we must get right or else our whole lives will be disordered, our desires will be unsatisfied, and we'll go to counterfeits and to God and the things he calls us to. So if you would, go ahead and look at John chapter 13, beginning in verse 31, where John says, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I say also to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. Your grace that just gives us truth that we can understand how we are to live our lives. And I just pray that today that you will speak through me, you'll get me out of the way, And you'll show all of us and meet all of us where we are to show us how we can live life the way we were made to love authentically. Not going for counterfeits or shadows of what is real, but going after Christ and loving the way we were made to. I pray that you'll open our eyes to see that and give us your Spirit to empower us to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see Jesus show us some components, some aspects of authentic love in this passage. It all doesn't seem like it's related to love. We look at one verse where he says you're to love one another, and it may seem like, well, that's unrelated to everything else, but we see that Jesus actually is setting up his command to for us to love one another by showing how he loves, showing how he perfectly models what true authentic love looks like. We're going to see three parts today. I'll give you everything up front, and then we'll work through it. We see that authentic love magnifies the worth of God, that authentic love relies on the cross of Christ, and that authentic love unifies disciples in the Spirit. It is all these things. And we see in verse 31, Jesus setting us up for it, a verse that may seem unrelated to love, but when we sink into the context and understand what's happening, we see it come alive, that authentic love magnifies the worth of God. So in verse 31, it picks up in the middle of a narrative, in the middle of a story. It says, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. When he is, we don't know who he is, but if you look a few verses ahead, you see that Judas Iscariot, just told by Jesus to go and do what he needs to do quickly. Judas Iscariot, who betrays Jesus, leaves the Passover meal they're having to go after some pieces of silver in order to give over his Lord to the guards that will go and crucify Jesus the next day. That very night, he'll be arrested. And we see that Jesus says, now the Son of Man is glorified. We see at the beginning of chapter 13, Jesus says that he knew his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. We see that Jesus knows what's going to happen. He knows Judas is leaving to betray him. He knows the Son of Man, which is an Old Testament prophetic title that Jesus loves to use as the most common title he refers to himself, which he says, I'm the Messiah, the representative of Israel who's going to come and redeem his people. He's saying, that Son of Man, my purpose is about to be fulfilled. I'm about to be glorified as I fully show my love for you by dying for you. And he says, in that I am glorified. It's like an Olympian, the glory of an Olympian during the Summer Olympics on the track and field is not their time spent in the hotel room before or on the plane ride over or stretching or even doing warm-ups. The glory of an Olympian is in that final stretch of a race when they're coming around the final bend and they're overtaking people, and by a stride they win the gold medal. And the crowd roars and they win. That's the glory of an athlete finishing the purpose of what they set out to do. The same way Jesus says, now the Son of Man is glorified. Now in me being betrayed, in my soon-to-be arrest, my beating, in my death, in my resurrection, I'm glorified as I'm accomplishing my purpose that I set out to do. I'm accomplishing what I've been come to do. And God loved the world so much, he sent his Son to do this. Jesus loved us so much that for the joy before him of having those of faith back with him, he went to the cross to suffer and die. So we see that love is central to what is happening here when he says that I am now glorified. And being glorified is a word we don't walk around using that much. But the glory of someone is the worth or the value of someone being displayed or shown. The glory of the Olympian is shown as they win the race, as they show their skill. And the worth of God is shown to us in the cross of Christ as he goes and magnifies how great God is by laying down his life for us, who don't deserve him, but he gives of himself anyways. Just a few verses later, while he's still talking with his disciples, he shares in John 15 that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus knows that his work of love he's about to do is the fullest expression of love, that a God who is perfectly sufficient, needs nothing of us, gives of himself, dies for us to have hope, have a chance. And that magnifies his worth. That shows just how great, how loving, how powerful, how gracious, but also how just our God is. He doesn't turn a blind eye to sin, but takes care of it on the cross and gives grace to us. We see Jesus continue with some words that sound like a tongue twister. And if you're like me, when you read through the Bible, if something gets complicated and you're reading a bunch of scripture, it might be easy just to skip over it or just not take time to really think about what these confusing words mean. Jesus talks about glorifying, going all these different directions. He uses it over and over again. He says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once." That seems like, well, that's a fun little word to try to make sure I don't mess up as I read it out loud to y'all. But as we meditate and sink into it, we see Jesus reveal some very profound truth about who he is, what it looks like to truly love. He says that not only am I being glorified, but in my glorification, God is being glorified. The greater I show my love, the greater I give of myself, the greater you see God, and the greater he is known as being great. And they're not mutually exclusive. In Isaiah 42, we see that God doesn't share his glory with anyone else. God's a jealous God. He is holy. He is righteous. He doesn't give of his glory to other people. So Jesus says, when I am glorified, God is glorified, and God even glorifies me in himself. That might seem confusing at first. How is God sharing his glory with another? And that's because Jesus is God himself. Jesus is God. So the more glory given to Jesus, the more we worship Jesus, the more we worship and glorify God. They both are the same being, the same person. As we just read, the Lord your God is one. You to love him with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might. And Jesus shows that to us, that as he loves, as he gives of himself, he lifts up and magnifies God. And this shows that God is in perfect relationship with himself. We probably hear the phrase Trinity thrown around. That is an essential truth of our faith. This shows us that God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Spirit, eternally past, eternally future, who's in perfect loving relationship with himself. And he needs nothing from us. When we go to Easter, the cross isn't a story of God being jealous of our attention, so he comes and gets it on the cross. The story of Easter isn't Jesus going, well, now I'm empty because my people have rejected me. Let me go do something to try to win them back. No, the glory of Easter is the fact that God is so worthy that even when he needs nothing of us, he gives us grace. He gives us hope. He gives us new life through his love poured out for us. And that is the hope that we have, that Jesus' love magnifies the worth of God in his life. Because he's the perfect image of God reflecting what God is like. But we also are made in God's image. In Genesis 1, God says, let us, there's the Trinity again, let us make man in our image. We're also made to reflect the beauty of this love that God has. We're made to love God with all we have. We're made to love each other with all we have. And in a lesser way, but in a no less important way, we glorify God to the degree that we fully love other people. As we show the image of God in us, as we live out life the way we were made to, and love others, give of ourselves, point others to God, help people in their need, serve in the church to help others, give of ourselves to our spouse even when it's hard and we're getting nothing in return, we actually magnify the worth of God as we're living out the image he's put within us. We're living out the life he has given us. And that means there's probably certain degrees to love. The world will tell you love is the fuzzy feeling you get towards something or someone. That's a very shallow love that's mostly lustful, where you just want something. But they may think, oh, love's even better. If you have two people who feel that towards each other, that's amazing. That's awesome. That is love, when two people find each other and they both enjoy being together. They both have fuzzy feelings towards each other. The world will tell you that is love, and it doesn't matter who two people it is. It could be two men, two women. It could be anything. It could be a man and a woman. It could be anyone could have this love towards each other. But we see there's a fuller extent of love. It must align with God's design. We're made in God's image. We must live out the way God intended us to live. But I would argue Jesus shows us in this passage that to truly love, to truly live out what we were made to, there's another level. It's not simply enough to care for someone and to have both of you benefit in a relationship. It's not enough just to make sure you're not breaking any rules. You must be pointing to God and trusting in God and magnifying the worth of God in your love. You must give to someone because you know God's given to you. You must give without expecting any return because you know God gave without expecting any return. And that is true authentic love because it's only possible if God's at work in you. It's only possible if the love of God's flowing through you. So true authentic love is like a fountain that has multiple levels. Of the love of God is central, and it pours down for you follow God's law. You follow his word. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you obey my commands. And then that trickles down to benefiting all parties involved and benefiting you. And it trickles down, and true love is much deeper and fuller than just a feeling. It is knowing how worthy God is and living your life to make other people know him. And not thinking of yourself, we want to magnify ourselves so much. All relationships that struggle and fail often deal with someone feeling inconvenienced or someone thinking their worth is being ignored. When true love is not about making your worth magnified, making your worth adored or praised, it's making God's. He must increase, we must decrease. That's a hard bar to think about. Because when we look at our own lives, I don't know, I can speak for myself. I have a hard time actually doing that. I think many of us will think, well, that is a high standard to love God with all of us, love our neighbor as ourselves. We see the image we have that we're supposed to reflect is actually tainted, is actually broken, is actually missing something because of our sin, because of our wanting things our own way. And Jesus' love towards us, him coming to earth to die for us, is him coming to try to fix that, to remake us so that we can walk in the image and redeem us and redeem creation to live and be as God intended. And we see Jesus point to that as he continues here. He says, little children, that phrase, some translations may say children. The original word here really points at a small, helpless child. And over the past few weeks, I've been blessed to know what a small, helpless child is like. They're very helpless. They can't do anything on their own. And Jesus looks to his disciples and says, little children, he knows their need. He knows the sin that they're bound to can only be freed by the work that he's going to do. And he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. He's about to go to the cross. He's about to ascend back to the Father. We cannot save ourselves and go to a cross. We can't, of any good work or any merit of our own, fix our problems apart from the work of Christ. So see, authentic love, if we truly want to love others and truly give of ourselves to others, we must rely on the cross of Christ. So we see that authentic love relies on the cross of Christ. It says, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. Jesus goes where we can't go. Jesus earns what we could never earn. And often we live in a lie thinking that if we check a few boxes, church membership, tithing, Sunday school, a few other things. We've merited ourselves to be a child of God. But the reality is the only thing that makes us a child of God is the grace of God. And the cross of Christ that pays the penalty for us and gives us new life. And our reliance on that truth. Coming to church, even as I stand before you today, I have nothing that I've merited to be here, nothing I've merited to be good, nothing I've merited to earn anything of God other than His grace at work in my life and my reliance on His cross as He died for me. And this fountain of love that He pours out for us through the cross flows through us, changes us as the Spirit changes us to where we can live a life that we were meant to. But we must do it in full reliance on His grace. We're in relationships with other people, whether it's at work, family, church, anywhere. We must never get the idea that we have something amazing to bring that this other person must have. We must always realize that we both need Jesus Christ. We all depend on Christ. And when someone else is struggling, when someone else hurts us, when someone else causes a problem, we can know that we've caused problems, we've hurt people, but by God's grace, we have hope. So that gives us the ability to love as we rely on the cross of Christ. As we share our brokenness, people can see the cross of Christ is enough for us. So maybe it's enough for them. And we can magnify the worth of God as we show Him through our life by relying on the cross. And coming together as a church, holding fast to the confession we have in Christ. But that fountain that I've talked about that flows through us cannot be tainted by self-reliance, thinking that we have something in of ourselves. God doesn't need, we don't need God. We've got something taken care of. But if you know about the oil spills that have happened in recent years in the Gulf of Mexico that have contaminated the water, so does self-reliance contaminate the flow of love that God gives us. And it doesn't take a lot. I think 1 gallon out of a million is enough to contaminate water when oil gets in it. Just one part, it's all about me. Oh, this love is for me, can taint the love of God flowing through us. That doesn't mean we don't enjoy. That doesn't mean we don't enjoy loving others, but it must be rightly directed at glorifying God through relying on Jesus. And this is the context in which He says, a new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. If we look at this command, it says a new command. Some people may think, well, that means you scrap everything else in the Bible. Let's lift up this command of love and let's just all chase these feelings we have inside of just loving each other. No, Jesus says, if you truly love me, you'll obey my commands. I think what Jesus is doing here is He's showing us how we are to follow the commands. The spirit in which we are to follow His word is the spirit of love. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about all these things he could have, but if I have not love, I gain nothing. I am nothing. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul's writing to a young believer in the faith who's going into ministry. He says, the aim of our charge is love, pursuing from a pure conscience. It shows that love is what motivates us and drives us to fulfill the commands of God because we see that He is worth it. We see that what Jesus has done for us gives us the ability to actually walk in it. We can never think it's about us. Jesus also shows us this new command is clarified. He shows us how we are to love. This is the grace of God becoming a man. Not only does He die for us, but He lives to show us what love looks like, what true living looks like. In chapter 13, just a few verses ahead, you see Jesus wash the disciples' feet. That's no accident. As He washes the disciples' feet, in that culture, being below someone's feet or washing someone's feet was a disgrace, was the lowest you could go. And Jesus, who's the highest you can be, lowered himself to wash his disciples' feet. He says, love like that. So none of us have a high horse. No matter how long we've been part of a church, no matter what we've accomplished, no matter how much scripture we know, no matter what, all of us rely on the cross of Christ to love others. And only from that place can we. And we see Jesus show us in verse 35 the fruit of this type of authentic love. He's shown us the aim of love is to magnify God and to glorify God. The means or the ability we have to love is the cross of Christ, his grace at work in us. But he shows us also the fruit of it in verse 35, that authentic love unifies disciples in the Spirit. He says, by this type of love that glorifies God and depends on me, there will be a fruit. Just like maybe many of you are starting to think about gardens, have started gardening for this new season. By tilling the ground, planting seeds, fertilizing it, watering it, weeding it, caring for it, you will have fruit. Same way Jesus says, if you have authentic love, there will be a fruit. And that fruit is by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It says in Matthew 7:16 that you will know prophets or false prophets or followers by their fruits. So, I mean, Jesus shows us the fruit of what true love looks like in our lives. He says that all people will know that you are my disciples. There'll be no mistake. There'll be no confusion because the love that I have for you will flow through you, and people cannot mistake that because it's what they were made for. It's like uniforms going into battle or uniforms on a court signify what team people are. Authentic love is the uniform of Christians that shows that we truly are of Christ. It is impossible to truly love, to truly forgive, and to just continue giving selflessly of ourselves unless God is at work in us. If not, we'll dry out and we'll burn out. But it says the fruit is that you'll be unified as disciples. People will know that you are of me. People will see me at work in you because it has to be a supernatural work that can do that in humanity. But something that happens when you play a sport sometimes, I know I play basketball back here sometimes, is we don't have uniforms. So we just have random people, hey, you're on this team, you're on that team. And we've all made the mistake, maybe, I definitely have sometimes, passing the ball to the wrong team because you forget who's on your team because there's no uniform to really show and mark what side they're on. But often in the church, we misprioritize what marks us as disciples, what unifies us together as a body of believers. And we pass the ball to the wrong thing that isn't authentic love, magnifying God, depending on the cross and the Spirit's work in us. And we divide ourselves. And Jesus shows us that authentic love is deeper than a building, than a sanctuary, than a position, than a ministry model, than a personality, than the amount of money we have in the bank. It's deeper than all of that. What unifies and brings us together as the church must be that we are seeking to magnify God by depending on Jesus Christ. It must be that we are seeking to love God with all we have because he has loved us. And we're seeking to selflessly count others more than significant than ourselves because we've been encouraged by Christ. And we've been comforted by God's love. And we have participation with his Spirit. And only by that can we be a true church or true disciples that are following Christ and are unified in the Spirit. Anything else is passing the ball to the wrong thing. So let's as a church, let's as Clifford Baptist Church, remember the basics of the gospel. The gospel, we never advance beyond the gospel as a church. We never advance beyond the gospel as individuals. Of our need for the grace of God at work in us and our need to share it with others. So maybe you serve and you feel burnt out. Maybe you don't know if you want to serve, but serving at the church is not about getting another level up as a Christian. It's about relying on the cross of Christ to allow God's love to flow through you as you share it with others. And burning out happens. That's why we have a body of believers that can be open about that and depend on Christ together and go after him. Because we must be disciples who follow Jesus, depending on Jesus, in order not to make ourselves look great, but to make God look great. So today I just want to leave y'all with this challenge to authentically love. Not as the world says is love, but as God's word shows us is true love that we were made for. The love that people are searching for and can't find, and thirsting for and can't find, is only the love of God. And God in his grace has given it to us to share. So let's not quench that. Let's not be disobedient to the call of Christ to share it. Let's be a people who can show and display the love of God in our community and in our church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord. And I just pray that you will help us not to be a man that looks into our face as if we look into a mirror and then forget as we walk away. As we look at your word and you reveal to us who we truly are, what we truly must be, and how your spirit enables us to do it through Christ, that we will turn to you. That we'll go home, we'll go back into our lives seeking to magnify your worth, depending on your cross, so that people can know that we are your disciples. People are seeking and hungering for you, Lord. I pray that you'll allow us to be your light in this community, God. And if there's someone here who's been searching for love in the wrong places, have been trying to love in the wrong ways, and just feels broken or feels empty or feels like there's something more they can never get enough, Lord, I pray they'll realize that today that authentic true love is only found in giving our life over to Christ, turning away from all the counterfeits, turning away from our sin, and coming and following you, Lord. I pray that this morning, today, will be the day that they come and confess you as Lord and follow you. In Jesus' name.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.